Thank you, guys. Isn't that good? Well, we're glad you're here today. How many of you came back from last week? Okay. That's most of you. We're glad you're here. Last week, we began a series of messages from the book of Jonah entitled Man on the Run. And today, we're going to be in Jonah chapter 1, verse 17, and then chapter 2 through verse 10. So if you want to go ahead and turn there. My sister-in-law, my wife's sister, is with us today, and her fiancé, Michael, and my nephew, Jordan. And Kathy and Michael are going to be getting married in October. They live in North Carolina, and we're glad that they're here with us today. And we're glad you're here. If you're a guest, thank you for coming. The book of Jonah is a strange book in a number of ways. But it's the strangest of all the minor prophets. Some of the scripture talks about minor prophets, so we talk about minor prophets. It doesn't mean they're minor in what they have to say, but minor in volume. They're simply not as long. Normally, when a prophet spoke, he spoke for God to the people. But that's not true in the case of Jonah. The book of Jonah is a message to Jonah. It's Jonah's life. It's Jonah's biography. It's Jonah's relationship with God and relationship with others. And here's the problem with Jonah. Jonah never could get his hands around and his heart around obedience. His soul somehow never grasped what God wanted him to grasp. He never got it. He just never quite got it. God said, go to Nineveh. He said, no, I'm not going. I don't want to do that. I'm not going to do it. Jonah is every man. He's every man in this auditorium this morning. He's every woman in this auditorium this morning. If you're not a believer yet, you're Jonah, running from the call of God to salvation. If you are a believer, but your life is conflicted, you're living a duplicitous life, then you're a Jonah, running from the call and service of God. If you were with us last week in chapter 1, we saw the call of God's life on Jonah to go to Nineveh. And he said, ain't no way, ain't going, get somebody else, I'm gone. And he didn't go. And the scripture says he went down to Joppa to buy a ticket to go to Tarshish. Tarshish, the end of the world, as far as he could possibly go, running from the presence of God. But how many of you know this morning, God don't do insubordination. So if God says do and you say don't, there's going to be trouble somewhere down the line. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, God speaks to the people who came to the table of the Lord in rebellion. And he said, for this cause many are sick, and some are weak, and some are even asleep. In 1 John chapter 5 and verse 16 and 17, he says, there is a sin that is leading to death. We want to know what that sin is to avoid it, but it's not an action as much as it is an attitude, a rebellion, a heart that says, no, I won't do it. 1975, I moved to South Georgia from Jacksonville. My neighbor was also a deacon in our church, and his name is Wallace. And he and Wanda really were good to Cheryl and I. But Wanda and Wallace were both Jonas. Wallace was running from God. He loved gospel music, and he sang gospel music in a quartet. But at the same time he was going and singing, his life was filled with hypocrisy, and he was conflicted in his soul and in his spirit. And he really was running from God, but he loved to sing. One night, on a late Saturday night, I was coming home from church after a prayer meeting, and Wallace was walking out of my carport as I was coming up, and here's what he said to me, I don't want to talk to you. I said, yeah, but I want to talk to you. We talked for a few moments. He told me what was going on in his life. And then he did something I'll never forget as long as I live. He stuck his fist into heaven. And here's what he said. I know what it is to love him and to know him. Preacher, if I don't get right with God, he's not going to let me live. Wallace was a prophet. Cheryl was in the hospital. I'm standing in the doorway looking down the hallway. And here comes one of our guys running to me, and there's panic on his face. And he says, "Preacher, you've got to come with me. You've got to come with me." I said, "Herbert, what is it?" He said, "It's Wallace." I said, "What's wrong?" He said, "Just come with me." We walked up to the emergency room, and they said, "No, you can't go in. His neck is broken, and he's dead." Listen to me carefully. Not every time that difficulty comes to our life doesn't mean we're out of the will of God. Please understand that. The rain falls on the just and the unjust. Everybody goes through difficulties. Everybody walks through adversity. But there are times when we need to understand, is this simply God grounding me, or is this God's discipline and chastening in my life? Three things in the life of Jonah today. Jonah's predicament, Jonah's prayer, Jonah's pursuit. Look with me at Jonah's predicament. The sailors throw Jonah into the sea, and for the sailors the storm ceases, but for Jonah there's still a storm. How many of you know this morning, say amen with me, God is good. And so look at what he does. Verse 17, chapter 1, the book of Jonah. "And the Lord appointed a great fish." Stop. Appointed a great fish. Now, some of your translations may say whale. The Hebrew original text literally says great fish. This great fish has a purpose. What is it? Watch this. To swallow a backslidden preacher. Now, somebody would say, "Wait a minute, preacher. Do you mean to tell me that you believe that a great big fish swallowed Jonah?" Yeah, I do. As a matter of fact, had the scripture said Jonah swallowed the great fish, I believe it. If the Bible had said that a gnat swallowed Jonah and the great fish, I would have believed that. I lived in South Georgia 12 years. There are gnats down there that will swallow you in a minute. You see, this is a supernatural work of God. At this point, usually the scripture, the preacher will take the scripture and he will almost beg you to believe it, saying, "You know, in the 1800s, they actually retrieved a man out of a great fish named John Bartlett." You know what? That's sad for John Bartlett. But the great fish didn't have to swallow John for me to believe it, because I believe it swallowed Jonah. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is superintending what the Word of God says. If God said it, I'm satisfied with it, and I know the fish must have burped when he got rid of Jonah. But notice what the scripture said. God appointed. This is a sovereign act of God. God appointed. God put out a fishing sign in the middle of the ocean. It happened just like this, believe me. The fish applied, got the job, swallowed Jonah. You know what God will do? God will go to whatever lengths he needs to go to get to you. Even if you've messed up like Jonah's messed up. Even if you're in trouble because you're in trouble because you got in trouble, God will send a great fish. And if life is beginning to get a little fishy for you, if there's trouble in the home, if there's trouble at work, if things are beginning to kind of fall apart for you, that may be your great fish. That may be the one God is sending to you as a message of God's warning and as a message of God's love for you. God will send a great fish for us when we mess up. Sometimes it's correcting, sometimes it's chastening, but God will send a great fish. Believe that can happen. Jonah's in the smelly belly of a whale. He's got problems. And so what does he do? This time he gets it right. Notice Jonah's prayer. Look at chapter 2 and verse 1. Then, I love that. Chapter 1, no prayer. Just, "I'm gone. You call me, God. I'm not going. I'm going to run for your presence. Going to go down to Tarshish, hang out for a little while around the Rock of Gibraltar. I'm gone. But God says, wait a minute. Then Jonah prayed. Hello? Anything that makes you pray is a blessing. From anywhere you pray is a blessing. If it's in the belly of a fish, if it's in a hospital bed, if it's from an attorney's office, if it's over the phone, if it's sending out resumes, anywhere you pray, any time you pray, anyhow you pray, is a blessing. Every time God puts us in a corner and makes us call on Him is a blessing. Then Jonah prayed, watch this, to the Lord his God from the stomach of a fish. There's something interesting here, I think. Scholars tell us that chapter 2 of the book of Jonah is actually a psalm, that it takes on the poetic form of a psalm. And if you want some homework, go home and see how many times that Jonah quotes the Psalms. Jonah's acquainted with God and he's acquainted with God's Word. And over in chapter 2, he's quoting the Psalms. He's praying to God what David prayed to God. He knows the Word and he's praying. Let me give you a word. Most of the change in life spiritually happens in crisis. There are two ways that we can be conformed to the image of Christ. Either by obedience to His Word or through a crisis that God sends in our lives. Listen to me very carefully. Sometimes the things that seem to be God's judgment is God's grace. By the way, I know what the name of the fish was called. It wasn't a fish called Wanda. It was a fish called Grace. Because even when the judgment of God is, condemnation is coming against us, God can turn that judgment into grace. Because what God does in a crisis is He stretches you. He conforms you. He makes you. He molds you. Doesn't matter what it is. God can use everything in our lives, according to Romans chapter 8, verse 28. God can use everything in our life, even where we've messed up, even where we've messed up in sin, even when we've been disobedient, that's caused us to lose the wife or the job or whatever else. God can take those things in your life and use them to conform you. Thank God for every crisis you've ever been in. Three things about this prayer. Look at his darkness. Jonah is praying in the belly of a well, and it's dark. Look at what he says in verse 2. And he said, I called out of my distress, and the Lord, I love this, and he answered me. I cried for help from the depth of Sheol. Now, probably if you have a King James Bible, it probably uses the word hell there. There are a number of words in the Bible for hell. Sheol is one of them. Sheol literally means the grave or the entrance to hell. It is the absence of God's presence. He said, when I was in hell, when I was in the shallow grave, I prayed to God and God heard my voice. How many of you are grateful this morning that no matter where you pray from, God can hear you? Even in darkness, He's out of control. He's tumbling downward. The fish comes along and swallows him up. You know what's amazing about this fish called Grace? Scholars tell us that when Jonah went into the mouth of that great fish and then into the narrow opening, which is the throat of that fish, into its stomach, that going through that narrow gap, probably God in doing that gave him respiration. God flushed all the water from his lungs as he went through that narrow opening. And in his darkness, he's praying. Chapter 1, no prayer. Chapter 1, running from God. Chapter 1, got all the money he needs to pay to go down to Tarshish. Chapter 2, no money. Chapter 2, things are tightening up for him. Chapter 2, he prays. Listen to me. The next time you think you're in control and don't need God, you may hear this. I've got funny stuff like that all day, man. I don't need to pray, I don't need God. The greatest sin in our day in the church is the sin of presumption. Hey, dude, I'm not going to Nineveh. You don't know what they've done to us. You don't know how much they hate us. If I go there, they may kill me. God, I don't want you to forgive them. I'm not going to Nineveh. I'm going down to Tarshish. I'm going to hang out there for a few days till this whole Nineveh thing kind of flies over and goes by. And then I'll come back home. And after all, I'm saved. Once saved, always saved. Been saved. God saved me by His grace. I'm saved by grace. I'm kept by grace. I'm going to glory by grace. Everything that begins in grace ends in glory. And I'll just mess up on the grace of God. I'll just live like I want to be. I don't care if I'm content. I don't care if I'm contemptible. I'll just live like I want to be. After all, God's going to forgive me. The blood of Jesus has already cleansed me. Do you really believe that about the cross? Do you really believe? Do you really think that you can just trample all over the cross and there be no consequences for your sin? He prays in a place of darkness. And God says, fish, go get him. But not only is his place a place of darkness, his is a place of desperation. Now, I got to tell you something. This is one of the scariest verses in all of the Bible to me. Jonah 2 and verse 4. And look at what he says. So I said, here's a prophet, a man that God speaks to and through, the conduit of God. So I said, I've been expelled from thy sight. I don't know about you, but I know what it was to be lost. I know what it was to go to bed at night as a kid and wonder if I'd go to heaven or to hell. I know what it is to have the euphoria of sins forgiven. I know what it is to come to grips with the grace of God in my own life. And how that God saved me and I had no hand in it. Nothing at all. I did nothing but be lost. And God came along and saved me. And now to think that we could be driven away from the presence of God. What does that mean? Some believe that Jonah was actually going to hell. I don't believe that. Here's what I believe. God said to Jonah, Jonah, you want to run? You want to run? Hey, you don't want me in your life? I'm going to give you what you want. Hey, be careful what you pray for. You don't want me in the life? You want to go to Tarshish? Run, Jonah! This, by the way, is as fast as I can run, so I'm really running fast in my heart. Run, Jonah! Run, Jonah! You want that? Okay, go ahead! And I'll just take my hand off of you. You know the amazing song about the song Terry sang? Is it theologically correct? That the prodigal father never ran. Old men in the Bible never ran. There were a number of reasons for that, but the biggest was it was indignant. He never went after his son. Never. Jude tells us why. He never ran, but when he saw him coming, he ran to him. Is that what you want, Jonah? That I'll just take my hand off your protection. I'll just take my hand off your provision. I'll just take my hand off of you. And Jonah, bye-bye. Is that what some of you want? You want God to be your God on Sunday morning so you can just kind of hang out and sins are forgiven and you can come to church and it can kind of all be wiped away and you can just live the way you want during the week, just and you, whether you're conflicted or not, duplicitous or not, it really doesn't matter to you. And God says, is that what you want? Is that what you want? Is that what you want? Okay. And I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, my brothers, my sister, there's something about this. You and I have been right where Jonah was, tumbling, falling from the presence of God and the glory of God's light fading. Desperation. But then thirdly, when he prays, it's a near-death experience. Verse 5 and 6, there's some verbs I want us to wrap our hands around for a moment. But let me say this to you. Some scholars believe that Jonah actually died when he was in the sea, that the fish revived him. And they believe that because of what Jesus said over in the book of Matthew. Remember what Jesus said? He said, a wicked and adulterous generation seeks after a sign. And if you want a sign, here's one for you. As Jonah was in the stomach of the great fish 3 days and three nights, and they're saying, as Jesus died, was buried, did Jonah die? I don't know. I'll tell you this. He thought he was dead. He thought he was a goner. The Hebrews hated the water. They hated, they feared that they could drown. As a matter of fact, we are told that when God's enemies came and persecuted them, the worst thing they could do to a Hebrew was to drown them. Jonah thought he was a goner. He thought he was dead. Look at this with me. Look at this with me. Look at verse 5 and 6. The water encompassed me, encompassed me to the point of death. The great deep engulfed me. Weeds were wrapped about my head. Underline these words with me. Encompassed. Closed in. No wiggle room. Claustrophobic. How many of you have ever had an MRI? Gee whiz. Imagine being in there 3 days and three nights. I have a friend who's very wealthy. They put him in one, and here's what he begins to scream. I'll give you any amount of money to get me out of here. 3 days and three nights. He's encompassed. Closed in. The next word I want you to underline in verse 5 is the word engulfed, surrounded. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, and the bill will be paid. The next word is the word wrapped. The weeds were wrapped. It's not a pretty sight, is it? Can you imagine all that stuff that's been ingested by that nasty fish? Can you imagine the stench, the bile? Can you imagine what was going in Jonah's mind and what was going into his system? Hey, Jonah, what are you controlling now? Hey, Jonah! Look at verse 6. I descended to the roots of the mountains. The earth with its bars was around me forever. But thou broughtst my life from the pit, O Lord my God. He is a man locked into the electric chair. Jonah's predicament. He's in trouble. Jonah's prayer. And then Jonah's pursuit. Now, I'm going to be frank with you this morning. I don't know if Jonah really repented or not. I don't know. He's every man. Every man has to answer that question for himself. I don't know if he ever really repented. He tiptoes around it. But I do know that as he comes to the close of this chapter, verses 7, 8, 9, and 10, that he does the right things. He at least says the right things. And the things that a man needs to do whose life has been out here like Joe's, losing his family, losing his job, his life falling apart. What do I do about it? Look at these four things. Number one, remember God. Remember God. Look at verse 7. While I was fainting away, while I was dying, life was going out of me. I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to thee into thy holy temple. I remembered. The word remember here, by the way, does not mean just to recall, but it's an attitude of responding. When I realized the foolish things I had done, when I realized what an idiot I had been. And how many of you know this morning, listen to me, church, all sin is insanity. All sin is unreality. All sin is stupid. And Jonah said, when I recalled, God, what it was to walk with you and to love you, the euphoria of having sins forgiven, when I recall that, I remembered God. What a good place to start. Remember where you were. Remember where you were when you first fell in love with Jesus. Secondly, renouncing sin and self-centeredness. Look at verse 8. Those who regard vain idols forsake their faithfulness. Now, some believe that Jonah here is being superficial, that Jonah is calling on God as an Israelite as opposed to all other heathens, and that Jonah is saying, well, at least, God, I'm not like the Ninevites. I don't believe he's doing that. Here's what I believe. I believe Jonah is saying, God, I've acted like an idol worshiper. God, I've made myself God. I've acted like I was in control. The nature of my rebellion was anchored in idolatry. I became my own God. And by the way, parenthetically, let me say this. You and I, as Americans, sometimes look on third world countries or developing countries and we look down on them for their worship of rocks and stones and wood and idolatry. But I want you to know that the idolatry in America is just as wicked and just as insidious and just as real. And we're living in the capital of idol worship in America, in Atlanta, Georgia, where we think we're in control and we're climbing the ladder and we've got it all. May God have mercy on us. And Jonah says, God, I've been an idolater. So you can't, listen to me, you can't be after God's heart until you've forsaken your own heart. You can't have peace with God if you're living as God. Number three, resubmitting to God's authority. Now, Jonah had an authority problem. Look at verse 9. But I will sacrifice to thee with the voice of thanksgiving that which I have vowed. God, I will pay. God, you're in control and not me. I've heard the thunder. I've seen the lightning and it scares me to death. And I'm not going to walk away. I'm coming back to you. How many of you know this morning, church? How many of you know God knows how to make us say uncle? Fourthly, he receives his deliverance. Now look at verse 10. I love the B part of verse 9 says, salvation is from the Lord. How many of you would say amen to that? Then the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah up in the dry ground. I didn't know how many times, how interested God was in vomiting and upchucking and hurling till I read this book. He talks about that mess a lot, doesn't he? God hurled a great wind. God threw up Jonah. Puke. And here's what God does. God says, fish, your purpose is served. Marta, your purpose is served. Airport, your purpose is served. Running, your purpose is served. You don't need to run anymore. He's mine. And the fish threw him up on dry ground. What is the valuable lesson that you and I have learned from this morning's message? Get this, church. Before we go, get this. He warns of the danger of superficial spirituality. He warns of the danger of superficial spirituality. There is a message to Israel. The Old Testament message is, you're not superior to anyone because of your race. You're not superior to anyone because of the call of God. There's a message to you and I today that says, you're not superior to anyone, even though you've been birthed into the family of God. Don't ever forget where you came from. I grew up on the west side of Jacksonville. I grew up in the part that we, Kathy Jo and I, grew up in is still just about the same. There are a few changes. I've never forgotten. I live literally by the tracks. Literally by the tracks. I've never forgotten that I was born into this world a rebel and a hellion with my fist raised toward God. And I've never forgotten since God saved me that I could be a Wallace. And it's only by the goodness and grace of God, even when He sends a fish called grace, it's by the goodness of God that He allows me to live and breathe and have my being. I'm glad this morning to know this. Salvation is of the Lord. So there's old Jonah. Running from God. Maybe, we'll see next week, if he's really running back to God. I want you to bow with me for a few moments. If you're here today and you've been contemplating some kind of spiritual decision, this is the time we're going to ask you to do that. If you're not a follower of Christ, but you know you would like to be, you feel the call of God on your life to be, we're going to invite you to come and we'll talk to you about that and what that means. If you're here today as a believer and there's some, you're conflicted in a lot of different ways, you see a lot of Jonah in you and you in Jonah, and there's someone you want to pray with, we can do that. If you're here today and you're running from the Lord and that you're a believer, but you've never followed the Lord in believer's baptism, we can talk to you about that in a moment when we stand after I prayed, our pastors and some of our deacons and their wives will be here available to counsel with you and to pray with you about any spiritual decision you need for them to pray with you about. But here's my plea to you this morning. Don't run from God. If God's calling you to be His child, don't run from Him. If God's calling you to be something or to do something you don't want to be or do, don't run from Him. God's calling you, and He loves you enough to create the storm and the great fish. You come. In the name of Jesus, God, You are Lord. We are not in control, but You are. I pray that You administer grace in this room today. Congregation, would you stand, please? Today, if you would like to accept Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, would you just step out in a moment, take Brother Marshall, or myself, or one of our men who's coming, just come forward and say, you know what, I need to receive Christ, and I'm coming to do that today. Or I have a special prayer need, or I'm following the Lord in believer's baptism. Would you come right now as we sing?